Hello, everybody. Welcome to the recording session. Have a seat. Have a cup of tea. Have a glass of water. We're about to start. Hope you enjoy the collaboration. Hope you become familiar with the sounds and the intenseness of expression. Just sit back and relax. This is about getting up in the morning and feeling good with a new day and a new chance to create. Okay? So may the deserts have water. May the storms calm down. May the snows lighten up. May the babies laugh. And may your ears remain open. So, in poetry, in music, in knowledge, in peace, security, and longevity, come on and step into the time flow with us. Come on, let's go. Let's go.
And you're listening to Saturday Morning Live. This is Mally, a.k.a. Dick. I'm Docu Vixen, and in studio with me is
Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. And I guess we have an action-packed show today. We have Matadi, I guess, at the end of 12:30.
Yeah.
And at 12 o'clock, we're going to be speaking to Ottawa. We have Ewart Walters, the publisher of Spectrum. And we have Dr. Horn. Dr. Horn is going to be talking about the visit of the president of China to Trinidad and Tobago. That's going to be, that should be interesting. And then we have Amanla, I believe. And what else?
And then we have reports from Black Agenda Report. And then also coming up just in a few seconds, we're going to have Mamiya and catch up with his reports.
All right, so we are, I guess, ready to roll, right?
Right, we are. So, and again, this is, we play via prison radio. This is Mamiya Abu-Jamal. These two girls who break out of this.
And profound shock and sorrow that I received the news of the tragic and somewhat incomprehensible death of Malcolm Shabazz, the grandson of Black nationalist leader and icon, Malcolm X. Born October 8, 1984, several decades after the assassination of his grandfather, Malcolm had the lean, angular beauty of his famed forebear, so much so that a shadow of grandfather was reflected in his face. But his face bore far more, for there, in his eyes, was the unmistakable glint of the pain of those once imprisoned. His bit came in the midst of his childhood, a boy's mistake that instantly transformed into the unthinkable, an arson that took the sweet life of his grandmother, Dr. Betty Shabazz, and scarred a child forever. The details of his passage into eternity aren't clear, but it seems Malcolm, while in Mexico, got into a rumble with locals over a bill. And the locals, none too fond of Americans anyway, beat the young man to death. In his relatively short life, Malcolm traveled perhaps as much as his grandfather, visiting France, Libya, and alas, Mexico. Malcolm Malik Shabazz, the grandson of Malcolm X, was 28 years old when he returned to his ancestors. From imprisoned nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Nature's war. Tornadoes. 2 miles wide, whipping, whipping, ripping, breaking lives, wood, brick, hearts, and families asunder. Buildings as big as malls, shredded like children's toys. Cars, trees, children, my God, children, tossed through the air like leaves. And while man didn't create these primal natural forces, modern industrial life, with its myriad of pollutants, has made it no better, and has indeed exacerbated it. So bigger, fiercer storms are our lot. nature unleashed like an angry goddess, ripping, whipping, tearing, and breaking. Whirlpools of wind before which few can dare stand. Meanwhile, politicians debate whether climate change is real, while parents bury their children. This time, more Oklahoma, more to come. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Guantanamo, fear and hunger. The word Guantanamo has become a watchword for the world. It is a temple of state terror, of imperial fear, and American hypocrisy. Since 2002, it has been transformed from a U.S. naval base on Cuban soil, against the wishes of the Cuban government, it must be said, to a global torture center and an interrogation chamber. Opened under Bush Cheney and maintained under Obama, it has been a detention center designed for perpetual detention to hundreds of men and boys. An international outcry forced the government to release over 500 men back to half a dozen countries. Today, 166 men remain languishing there, with dozens on a hunger strike, an act of desperation after a decade in Guantanamo without charges. 86 men have been cleared for release but remain in chains years later. President Barack Obama campaigned on Guantanamo's closure, but 5 years later, it remains. In the last few months, the Obama administration began seizing family letters and photos, the only connection to their loved ones, as they can't receive family visitors. In desperation, dozens of men have launched a hunger strike, a desperate measure for a desperate situation. The government's response? To lower cell temperatures and to force feed them by stuffing a filthy tube down their throats to fill aching stomachs. Thus, they are torturing men by force feeding them so that they can live in the torture of indefinite detention. America boasts to the world of its human rights and its values, but they can't hear them over the cries, screams, and moans of the tortured in Guantanamo. Demand that Guantanamo be closed immediately. Free the Guantanamo detainees and return them to their home countries. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
American Dreams, American Nightmares. A book review of A Dream Foreclosed by Laura Gottes Diner. Can a book be both beautiful and terrible? Adorning its front cover is a beautiful little girl, her hair neatly sectioned into intricate cornrows, the ends of her braids festooned with bright plastic baubles. But the story within these pages is hardly one of beauty. It is the terrible, heart-rending, soul-eating tale of the foreclosure crisis. How capital waged a war of greed, fraud, and malice to wipe out the wealth, homes, and well-being of millions of people. And yet, Laura Gottes Diner's fine little book, A Dream Foreclosed, manages to find some beauty amidst immense pain and suffering. The beauty of people continuing to fight back against rapacious banks, the politicians they buy, and the lawyers they hire. People fight for years against fraudulent, robo-signed foreclosure notices, court hearings, heavily armed sheriffs and police, and actually win because they discover that there is power in communities and in movements. They learn that they aren't alone. Indeed, there are millions, millions of people thrown into the horrors of homelessness, suffering in silence and shame. Gottes Diner tells their stories of how they joined or sometimes built movements to change their condition and won. Gottes Diner tells the life tales of four families who, though driven to the brink of madness and despair, find solace in united struggle against monstrous odds. Through movements, through united action, these desperate and scattered families build kernels of community and bonds of solidarity. As Hetty, the mother of one young man facing foreclosure, said, "People in numbers work magic. They receive nothing but scorn and derision from their elected so-called leaders, whether local or national. So pressed against the wall of hopelessness, thrown into the refuse heap of society, they became their own leaders and created social change. A dream foreclosed, Black America and the Fight for a Place to Call Home, by Laura Gottesdiener, is a work both beautiful and terrible that deserves to be read by many." From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Less developed neighbors to the north. And eventually, a few wisdom-seeking individuals from there came to study at her renowned schools or from her profound teachings. Now, perhaps you're familiar with some of the names of these students: Pythagoras, Hippocrates, Aristophanes, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, indeed. Another was Herodotus, who was later called the father of European history, and he described the Egyptians as black-skinned, woolly-haired, flat-nosed, and thick-lipped, and he would have known since he walked and talked and studied with them. All these Greek philosophers, and many more that I haven't named, learned what they could from Africans, from the people they called Egyptians, and they took what knowledge they understood back up north to Greece, where it was immediately rejected as heresy, rejected as foreign ideas. Now, a lot of these philosophers were forced into exile, while others were even killed for passing this sophisticated wisdom on to fellow Greeks. However, much later, parts of this same body of African knowledge spread throughout northern countries and laid the intellectual foundations for Western civilization.
I just hope people It'll never happen to you. Yes, yeah. I can hear the farmer. He said, let's get out of here.
Mr. Bojangles. the lazy laughing south with blood on its mouth. And I, who am black, would love her, but she spits in my face. So now I seek the north, the cold-faced north, for she, they say, is a kind of mistress.
But when I go to my dear old brother,